We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Let's go to the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. Bring it back local to Washington football and to the GM search, which seems like it is ending where most of us thought it was going to. The moment that Marty Herney got fired by the Panthers, the jokes wrote themselves and everybody said, well, Ron Rivera's got his GM. You fast forward several months and a bunch of interviews over the last week, and Marty Herney, it sounds like, will be their general manager. J.P. Finley of NBC Sports Washington joins us now. J.P., how legit was the search? How legit were all those other interviews? I mean, they landed on the guy we all kind of thought they were going to before it all started.
It's a really good question, Grant, and I think one of the big unknowns here is what, if any, other announcements will come about other moves in the front office. And I think if there are other announcements, say somebody gets an assistant GM title or an executive vice president of football ops or something, and it's one of these other folks that interviewed, then I think we know they were legitimate. But I don't think anybody's surprised if Ron was going to Herney all along. I mean, I remember the day he was fired on the Zooms that day, we asked about Herney. And, you know, you've probably seen and heard the quote that's been going around. I mean, Ron spoke effusively about him in early December. So this isn't much of a surprise. I recognize it's an uninspiring hire, right? There's not going to be a parade for Marty Herney's arrival. But I do think in what was a pretty inexperienced front office and really kind of an understaffed front office, I think the Herney hire makes sense to Ron. And ultimately, that's all that matters.
John Paul, you touched on it. That's my word for it, is uninspiring. I can't get around that. I can't get around his record. I can't get around how available he was to all 32 teams for a long time. And nobody really seemed that interested outside of the Carolina Panthers and now Ron Rivera 2.0 here. What is the exciting point? Like, let's say you're talking to a fan, blank slate. What's exciting about this? Why should a fan be into this?
If you were into what happened in 2020, I think the argument is just that that's a continuation of what happened. And I don't know that Herney's being brought here to showcase his talent evaluation. I think he's being brought here to run the operation better. And I think, I mean, Ron has talked at length about how much he's liked the drafts and free agency last season. I think by and large, you allow the forces that have done that to continue to operate. Obviously, the wrinkle in all of this could be what happens with Kyle Smith. And I think at this point, it wouldn't be a surprise at all if Kyle is gone. Maybe that doesn't happen until after the draft. Typically, like talent evaluators, there's two times where they change jobs. It's right now when the season ends or after the draft. And that's the one kind of big wave in all this is what happens there. But I think there are some in the new in the Washington organization now that wonder if all the hype and excitement around Kyle Smith is rightfully deserved. And I think a lot of it is circumstances. It's not Kyle's fault that they were so awful before. It's certainly not entirely his fault. But he was still there when they were really bad. And I think, I know there are people inside the organization that don't understand the angst over not promoting him when the record the year before was 3-13 and 7-9 before that.
Yeah,
and,
but if I operated like that, Ron Rivera wouldn't have this job, JP. I mean, his track record, like, we could do that with every coach, right? I mean,
sure. I mean,
Ryan Kerrigan wouldn't
be here. Guys, Right. The only personnel guys that have a perfect record are the ones that haven't been given the opportunity to be a personnel guy yet.
Right. And so, but my point is, like, the idea, like, Ryan Kerrigan's part of a losing team. And, like, we'll have callers call in and be like, they've never won with him. He's not any good. And it's the dumbest logic I've ever heard. So I'm sure that's the case. But we used to crush Bruce and some of the people in this organization when they didn't like when guys got their shine. And it feels like there's a little bit of that going on now, but they're not getting crushed. And I don't really know what the difference is other than it's not Bruce.
I don't think it's about shine. I think it's about...
Well, why would they be upset? Why would they be upset that people are giving credit to Kyle Smith for doing a good job?
I think it's the expectation that he gets an interview for the GM job.
They interviewed a guy that answers to him.
He's had 1 year of experience on the pro side of football. Like, everything up until the last 11 months had been college scouting.
How much different is scouting a linebacker at Memphis as opposed to a linebacker for the Panthers? I mean, isn't scouting? What about Eric Stokes? Like, Eric Stokes is answering to Kyle Smith. Why is he more qualified?
It's not all scouting, Grant. It's not all scouting. It's also the salary cap, dealing with all the agents, all the other ancillary administrative stuff that's required. And listen, I'm not, like, we've done this a few times now where I'm not defending the move. I don't think it's great. I don't think it's bad. I just think that some of the folks that are screaming that Kyle Smith should get this job are a little misguided also.
No, I totally agree. He's 36 and he's been promoted a couple times the last few years. I'm not saying, I guess we're having two conversations. I don't think necessarily he should get the job. If you're saying that, if you're not saying what I'm about to say, that it sounds like you are, then I'm misunderstanding. To me, it's a story that he didn't get an interview. They literally interviewed a guy that answers to him. Like, what I'm saying, tinfoil hat style, is something's not great between he and Ron, or for some reason Rivera doesn't feel about him like he does maybe some other people in the building. But to me, when you're interviewing one of the guys under him, and he was the de facto general manager all offseason, and you had this opening and he doesn't get an interview, like, that is a story. I just can't get past that, people acting like that's not a story. I don't understand that.
It's a story, certainly. I think there are plenty of people over there that would tell you he was not the de facto general manager this season.
So what was he doing? He was running meetings of scouting for veterans and college people. What
certainly,
is that?
But if you look at what Ron's doing and what he said about wanting somebody with more experience, I think there are other factors that maybe you and I are unaware of. But, like, there is certainly more to being a general manager of a franchise than running college scouting meetings, I would think. I don't know. But, like, I don't think it takes a conspiracy theorist to suggest that something happened between Ron and Kyle and they
this
don't seem to be on the same page.
Yeah, this is my point. I just – and everything you're saying is correct, but I guess what I would say is I don't think Chris Ballard is doing a whole lot of stuff other than watching tape. Like, football people – a GM to me, and maybe Ron Rivera has just a completely different plan, but to me, a general manager is a talent evaluator. That Rodgers is going to do the salary cap. You got people who can go over rules with you like Eric Schaefer used to do, but maybe he wants a guy that's going to have a stack of papers on his desk, you know, doing paperwork. I have no idea.
I think all GMs have a talent evaluation background, certainly, and if they're not good at that, they don't make it, I don't believe, and they shouldn't. But I think there is more to the job than just grinding tape.
JP Finley, NBC Sports Washington, with this young Grant Nanny. So let's get to Kyle Smith specifically. What's his path now? Because I can fully understand him not being the general manager. A-okay, that's fine. There are a lot of good candidates. I don't know the Marty Herney's one, but whatever. Do you think there was a conversation? Hey, here's what we've got mapped out for you. Or is this just, we don't care if we lose him? Do you see a path forward for Kyle Smith here?
I don't know. I mean, think about, Grant and I are yelling at each other about how this all shook out, right? Imagine how Kyle feels about this. Like, we're just two intermediaries here. I think I don't see a path forward here, honestly. And that's just me looking at the situation and the scenario. I don't know contractually when Kyle's contract is done. I also know they were undermanned this year. Think about it. Alex Santos was supposed to be there all year. He was part of the plan, and then the allegations came out, and he was fired. And Santos handled a ton of the interactions. Like, Alex's job was the guy that always had to land people for the practice squad and fill out those late roster spots when people start getting hurt and finding offensive linemen and all those things. I do think that there's components of running a professional franchise that Kyle just hasn't done yet. And it's not his fault. He's young and he's moved up really fast, but there are big functionalities that he hasn't performed. And I think that was a part of maybe why he didn't get the interview. I don't know. And I think going forward, I think he'll get snapped up in a second. I think it was no accident. Go back to when Washington played the Niners, whatever that was, like week 14, and Kyle Shanahan had to do a press conference with the D.C. media. He was asked about the job Ron has done. He spoke very highly of Ron, and then unsolicited, Kyle Shanahan started talking about Kyle Smith. I think if Kyle Smith became available, I think somewhere between LaFleur, McVay, and Shanahan, he'd get a job pretty darn quick. But I don't know that he'll become available. I don't know that maybe he doesn't. I highly doubt it, but who's to say he doesn't get a promotion out of this and get an assistant GM title? I'm not expecting that at all. But until we know for sure and we can ask Ron, like, hey, what happened here? And eventually we can talk to Kyle and ask him what happened here. I just think it's a ton of kind of baseless speculation outside of what is obvious, that something didn't go right in this 1 year of working together.
And this is all I'm trying to say. And I hope you don't think I'm yelling at you. That's not my
intention. Nobody's arguing with you about that. That's what I don't understand. I'm not.
Well,
I don't disagree.
It seems like I'm the only person that thinks it's weird that he didn't get interviewed. That's all.
You haven't looked at Twitter because everyone in the world is screaming that.
I'm talking about in the local media. In the local media, everyone's like, well, it makes perfect sense. He's only 36 and blah, 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 blah. No, he did the closest thing to the GM job for this team. They had a successful season.
I don't think that's true. I don't think his job this season was what a GM does.
I agree, but what I said was he did the close. No one in the building was closer to being a GM this season than him.
No,
he was the highest-ranking
person
in their personnel department. When they met about players, he ran the meeting.
I think Ron Rivera was the closest thing to a GM they had.
Okay, I'm talking about their personnel department.
Right, but like, that's a delineation that I don't think necessarily existed during the 2020 season.
Okay, I'm not sure what that means, but okay, we'll move along. The only thing I'm saying is I don't think he should have gotten the job. I can't believe people don't think it's weird he didn't get an interview. Last thing, and maybe this is where this all comes.
I think it's weird. I guess that's the crux of our disagreement. I agree with you. I understand that thought process. I'm just trying to say what I think happened out there, why he didn't get it.
Gotcha. The last thing is, and maybe this is where the initial paradigm comes from. I get the coach-centric thing, right? We've heard about this from day one from Dan Snyder. Like, this is what we should be expecting. I come at this constantly asking the question, though, should we be okay with this? I mean, the Panthers were not that successful. And it seems like that's not – it's almost like two camps that have established themselves now where it's like, trust in Ron, you can't question anything, it's his process, like, let him do his thing. Or the other side, which is like the bad guys, which is like, wait a second, Carolina had three winning seasons in the last 9 years or whatever it was. So to me, I just keep going – why are we in such a rush to get all of these dudes together? I'm not really sure what they accomplished, other than 1 year where Cam Newton was the best player in the NFL.
I think it's an incredibly fair question. I don't have an answer to it, but I think whether or not you agree with it, it's the plan for sure. And Rivera has been empowered to do these exact things. I guess some of my point is that I don't get the surprise and, like, the mock outrage. Like, this is what we knew was coming. That's what I don't understand. But if you want to question, should this dude be able to do all these things, certainly. But, I mean, that question would only go to Dan Snyder. He's created this scenario. And I think the NFC East title almost waters down the argument because – I don't think you should look at the 2020 season and be like, oh, they made the playoffs. This guy really knows what he's doing. Because they backed into the playoffs in a terrible division, and I think the playoff berth is more because Philly and Dallas fell apart than it is Washington, went out and stuck their claim, right? But I do think they showed dramatic improvement. And I do think a lot of it was coaching. And I think they developed young players. And I think that if you're looking for a reason, all right, I'm going to trust this dude, that to me is why. I mean, they more than doubled their win total. They were competitive. I mean, if they had a real quarterback, I'd be very curious what 2020 looks like. If they had one real quarterback for the season, and that's a giant if, and they'll have to try to solve that. But if you want my answer on why fans should trust or believe in this, I would point to the growth of the 2020 season in what was really impossible circumstances with more off-field nonsense than any football team really should ever have to deal with. On top of the things everybody across the NFL was dealing with COVID and everything else.
JP, great conversation as always, buddy. Appreciate it, man. Have a great rest of your week.
All right, boys. Thank you very much.
We'll see you, dude.
JP Finley, NBC Sports Washington, does a great job covering the football team. Check him out there. You can react to that conversation if you'd like next. 800-636-1067. That's 800-636-1067. It sounds like Marty Herney is coming from Carolina to be the GM of the football team with his old buddy Ron Rivera. 800-636-1067 is the number on the AAA always-on-call listener lines. Let's get to the phones. So J.P. Finley just joined us, and we were talking about Marty Herney as the GM. And our conversation devolved into, you know, what they decided to do in terms of the interviewing process. I guess succinctly my point is I don't happen to think that Kyle Smith necessarily should be the general manager. It is just confounding to me that there's not more being said, written about, talked about how weird it is that the guy that's the closest thing in your front office to the GM this year didn't get an interview. And someone in the department who answers to him did. I think that that's odd. But we now have an answer, and it looks like it's going to be Marty Herney, which is fine. You got a guy who's immensely qualified and has been a GM multiple times, all in one organization. It was the Panthers either giving him the GM job or him doing a radio show like me and you or then getting another chance with the Panthers. But he has been a GM for a long time. So we're getting your thoughts on another former Panther executive coming in to help run Washington with Ron Rivera. And if you want to touch on the rest of the process, you know, you can do that as well. I actually happen to think, Danny, that had they have hired Ryan Cowden from the Titans, I would have been thrilled. Vice president of player personnel from a winning organization that is trending up, where they have established a ton of talent, where they've got a culture and an identity, and they make the playoffs year in and year out. And a coach wasn't fired last year, and that he wasn't fired from his post last year. I could have really gotten behind that. JoJo Wooden, kind of similarly, maybe a little bit more young and experienced from what I can gather, but he joined the Chargers in 2013 and oversees their pro and their college departments, kind of like the Chargers' Kyle Smith. Similarly, I know they just blew out their head coach and they had a disappointing season, but that's a guy with a team that is talented, that makes the playoffs a lot, that seems to have a pretty strong culture. And you look at the players that they've established in that locker room, that could be a quick turnaround. People think that that could be a playoff team in the next year or two because they've got great players on defense. They hit on Justin Herbert, and they've got some good things going with a lot of personnel on offense. So, like, those interviews got me excited. I felt pretty good about that. Going back to the well on Herney doesn't quite butter the bread for me. I don't dislike it as much as you in the sense that I'm not sure if it matters that much. I think Rivera kind of wants someone he's comfortable with to do some administrative stuff. And we'll see. Maybe it does mean that they keep the personnel department the same, and perhaps Ron Rivera and Kyle Smith are golfing buddies, and everything's all hunky-dory, and those guys will just keep chopping wood together, picking players.
Well, as far as Kyle Smith goes, and again, I wrote about this because I think it's very interesting. And the big thing that happens, and my wife does this for her job. She oversees, she's basically in charge of, they call it human capital, but it's hiring, career tracking, development, onboarding, all that other kind of stuff, right? So you hire some 22-year-old kid. How do you maximize his time there? How do you give him a good track so that in 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, he can still feel like he's growing? You give him more. You increase responsibility as you go, right? They have to make these decisions. And every company that's got more than one employee has to do this at some point, where you go, this person might leave. What is the damage? Does that damage outweigh giving them $5,000 more? Does that damage outweigh increasing their responsibility? Does that damage outweigh allowing them to progress forward? It doesn't mean you give them the president and CEO job. Doesn't mean that you take some 36-year-old who's been with you for a couple of years and you make him in charge of the entire thing. It does mean, though, you've got to have a balance sheet. Here's the way it looks outside looking in. There's a lot we don't know about this, but here's the way it looks. They don't care if they lose him. Redskins fans, now Washington Football Team fans, and media and folks that have been plugged in here know how this looks. It's when an assistant coach takes a team to the NFC title game. It's when a guy that was in your building taking notes and getting coffee is now extended till 2027 with the Seattle Seahawks, one of the three best programs in all of sports. It's when Trent Baalke gets to a Super Bowl. You've seen how this looks. An executive, a person that's smart, sharp, young, up and coming, is here, is stunted because of this terrible hierarchy, this dumb culture, this incorrect way that they've done things for the entirety of Dan Snyder's ownership. And you go, hey, does anyone notice we got some of the same signs? Anybody noticing this? That this is exactly what happened before, and this guy's going to leave? It right now looks, and there's a lot we don't know. I want to make sure I'm very clear about that. We don't know what conversations may or may not have been had behind the scenes, but here's how it looks. We don't care if we lose this person. I care if they lose that person. I think you care if they lose that person. It doesn't seem like they do. That's why we're both kind of sounding the alarm bell, I think.
The comment that JP made, you want to talk alarm bells, that doesn't sit great for me, is when he says there are people with the team that have told him that they don't really understand why so many people give credit to or talk about Kyle Smith. Because that's loser culture. I'll be honest with you. Caring about why someone gets credit, that's Bruce and Scott McLuhan crap.
We remember
and I want
that,
it over
we?
With. I want that gone yesterday. Stop caring who gets credit. If people are saying good things about someone in your organization, that's a good thing. If we're not clubbing Bruce Allen, we're not clubbing Dan Snyder, we're not spending our time making fun of the fact that you're sub 500 again, and instead we're talking about some young executive, right or wrong, that had a great offseason, why does that bother someone? That shouldn't bother anybody.
Remember how this happened before, GP? It was with Scott McLuhan. And they went
9-7. Yes.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, they went 9-7 and went 8-7-1 in 2 years. He got credit for beginning this turnaround. Here's the process, though. They were embarrassed. Remember, that's the Dan Snyder I'm embarrassed press conference. That's Bruce Allen at his nadir, at his absolute worst. So they had to go out and hire this guy that Seth Wickersham wrote a nice piece about on ESPN. He comes on our show. He does the media tour. He's on NBC Sports Washington. He's everywhere. They trot out the savior. And then, as they trot out the savior, telling us all, this is the difference. We have changed. This is the guy. He gets some credit because they introduced us to him as the savior. He's treated as the savior. And then people bristle. And by the way, they bristled for 3 games over 500 over 2 years, as if that's some sort of accomplishment. There are guys behind the scenes griping about that. Like, why does he get all the credit? I've been grinding away on my mediocre resume. Pound sand with that. You're 100% right. You use the phrase loser talk. That's what that is. That's a loser culture. That is a culture of losing, inadequacy, cover your ass when it goes bad, sprint to the light when things are mildly decent, hoping that somebody gives you praise. Nobody's done anything of note here. Nobody has at this point. Tell me more about 7-9 in the worst division in sports history. Tell me more.
In winning cultures, in winning organizations, and I'm not just talking about sports, it doesn't matter who gets the credit. We're all in the thing together. At the Great American Restaurants, which is one of my favorite restaurant groups on the planet, they do their team service bit, where I can't even jiggle my ice cubes before someone's refilling my iced tea. And it's never my waitress or waiter. It's just some person walking by the table. You think they're all sitting there at the end of the night going, I refilled his drink twice, so I'll get 42 cents. No. And the fact that someone would be bothered by that is ridiculous. Period. It's ridiculous. Positive press about your team is good, not bad, every single time. But regardless of that, again, getting the job or not, it's the interview part of it. It tells me something is amiss. And if we spent the year assuming that this guy's pretty good, which is what we did, are we just going to touch a button now and say, okay, well, if Ron Rivera doesn't love him, then maybe he's not. No. Like, I'm still approaching this, and this is maybe different, right? Maybe this is where JP and I go back and forth, or some of our listeners might bristle, and that's fine. You're entitled to your own opinion. I'm approaching every move still as I'm going to question this. They went 7-9 with a weak schedule where they probably should have gone 7-9. I'm happy about a lot of things. I think Ron Rivera did a good job this season. I think they made major strides this season. I think they're in a really good spot compared to a calendar year ago. I feel very positive and good about the momentum. But they probably should have won 8 games this year, frankly, when you look at some of their losses and how weak their schedule was and how terrible their division was and the talent that they have on this team, much of which has been assembled by the staff that just got overlooked. And so I still, every time they hire another Panthers person, maybe I'm in the wrong here. I go, what was so great about the Panthers? What am I missing here? You guys probably had a lot of fun, and maybe on set making that movie, everybody was cutting up into a shtick, so we're all going to get together, and Adam Sandler's buddies are all going to do the movie every single summer.
Yeah, we don't need Grown Ups 3, guys. We're good.
But the movies weren't that good, and it just doesn't seem like anybody cares about that. 800-636-1067 is the number on Grant and Danny.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.